welcome back to this episode of Tab U. I'm Nick Russell, and I am the sales director of Tab. Welcome. Right, first question. Who are you, and what company are you from?
Good question. My name is Nick Moss, and I'm the director of lending product for Alica Bank.
Very nice. Tell me a bit about Alica.
So we are a new bank. We've been open for 2 years. We are directly and built specifically to solve the challenge of SMEs. So we are looking to provide asset finance, commercial lending, business current accounts and deposits, both also resale and for business deposits. And soon to be many more things.
Good. Sounds good. I've heard many good things about you.
Thank you.
Okay. For young people getting into this space, our space, your space.
Yep.
Tell us why they should want to come and work either at Alica or within the industry.
Yeah, so I think you have multiple industries. So if I talk about my industry of product, so it's one of those things, if you like solving problems, then in banking there's lots.
Yep.
And if you love going deep into things, then product's your route into that. I think it's one of those things where, and I'm a complete testament to it, which is you don't need any degrees, or you kind of just start somewhere and
agreed,
get
I'm
going,
same.
Right? And so, as long as you've got a passion for solving problems, yeah, then we're really interested in that. But also, it's listening to your customer, but diving deep into it. And so, if you've got those type of skill sets of tenacity, you understand data. That's really, really important.
All data. I'm sales, mate. What's data?
Yeah. That's the thing that tells you how much you've sold. At the end of them.
Got it.
But you know, it's more the thing of like just being really, really focused on the problem and being really committed to trying to solve it.
Yeah, I agree with that. No 2 days are really the same in our industry.
Never.
Which is great, because yeah, there's not too much mundane work day to day, which is great. All right, we're obviously in a different environment to what we've been in the probably the last 2 months has been a bit of a change. At Alica, what has been the greatest challenge for the business at the moment?
It's a good question. I think,
especially for you in product design.
Yeah, so from a product perspective, we always pride ourselves on being nimble. Mm-hmm. And so if we think about the state of flux the economy has been in, but also the country, right, especially after the mini budget,
yeah,
that caused a lot of unrest, a lot of uncertainty in the markets. And one of the things that we did immediately, particularly from a product, but as a banking perspective, is we are able to be agile. And so as soon as we saw the problems that were coming out, we immediately built and launched a 10-year fixed rate product. So we could get that out super quick, right? That was in 3 or 4 weeks it was shipped. We've also just launched an automated decision in principle, because we're trying to ensure that we keep providing services to our customers, our end users, that gives them certainty and some efficiency. So, you know, as people are getting busier and stretched, etc., you have to have that kind of, those tools available to support customers, but also your internal customers as well. And that's where launching,
can I bring
that
you a little bit closer to the mic, thank you,
launching that 10-year fixed rate provides that support and also provides and confirms that we're here to stay. We're not removing ourselves from the market. We're here, we've always been open for business, and here you go, and here's some more stuff from us.
Brilliant. On that fixed rate, because I find this a bit fascinating, because so back in March Tad did the opposite. So obviously bridging's always been a fixed interest monthly interest rate marketplace.
Yep.
And back in March we decided that we were going to go to tracker rate bridging, which was an interesting moment to announce that to the market. But fortunately for us, it was good timing, because we protected our entire back book.
Yep.
And we did it early. People were a little bit taken aback, but bought into it, and thankfully, you know, everyone seems to be doing it. With your fixed rate, how did you look at that and manage that against potential future rate rises? Because that's obviously where we're in a kind of that market. Now, do we think it's going to be as dramatic as what the doom-mongers said in the first month? Not necessarily, but we are in an upward trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably the worst qualified person to answer that question, if I'm honest.
You're the product designer.
In that, but from a, so we protect that based on the fact that we're trying to provide certainty to the customer, but also to ourselves as well, right? And obviously there has to be that contract. But the key for the 10-year fixed rate for us was enabling and cementing that price in. Now, the challenge for fixed rates is that when you break them early. That's the challenge for us. But that's something that we accommodate for.
Fine.
And so we're comfortable with that. And I think we but I think the key with everything is the same with yourselves, I suppose, which is you've just got to learn.
Yes.
Right? And the ability for us is because we are driving through technology, we can learn quickly. Right?
Same
and
with
we
us.
Can change quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what's really, really important. We're not like some big oil tanker that has to turn really, really slowly. If we want to launch a new product or want to change that product or change whatever we want to do,
yep.
we'll just very quickly spin it through.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. Look, we're very, very similar.
Yep.
You know, we're going into commercial term next year.
Oh,
yeah. Watch this space.
How dare you.
No, listen, we admire what you guys are up to.
Yep.
The reason is, and I'm not trying to forget plugging tap and just having a conversation here, that half our book's commercial. Duncan, CEO, and myself, we've yep. always been big on commercial. I've never been one that if there's a long-term lease on a property, that just because we're doing bridging, we should do VP.
Yeah.
You know, there should be some investment value. You can't penalise people who've created, you know, intrinsic investment long-term value.
Yep.
So we should, even on our bridging, look at that. Now, not every bridging lender gets comfortable with that because they
yeah,
look
yeah.
at ultimate bricks and mortar.
Yeah.
I don't buy into that. You've got to buy into each individual story and each individual asset. And that's why property is so unique, because no two buildings are ever the same, even the next door each other.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, I think the one thing we've always been really, really keen on is, and it's not to kind of what you're saying, by the way, but just in general, which is, it's always super important to make sure you're clear as to what you are all about.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always been really, and obviously we want to expand our product range in the future, but just being really open and transparent with this is what we do and this is what we don't do is really important, A, for our staff, but also for our end customer and our brokers and distributors and intermediaries. So, you know, we will develop more products and we will evolve and we'll adapt. But keeping it simple is just kind of our motto, really.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. All right, let's move on because we digressed for a while there. What is your gut feel on how high bank rates are going to go in terms of base rate? And I know it's a little bit of that,
yeah.
and it's changing all the time with more confidence a little bit with Rishi Sunak coming in. It's obviously strengthened the pound. Obviously, all the bonds that were bought up by the government. So it'd be interesting to get your take, really.
Yeah, I mean, it is very much finger in the air, but I think it's going to go up again.
Yep.
I think it may start with a 4.
Do you think it'll top out at 4-ish?
I think it'll probably be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
From what I'm seeing, from what I'm hearing, people are much smarter than I am. But
yep.
That's what it seems to be heading towards. And if you look before the big financial crash, it was kind of circa hovering around that number, if not slightly higher, before 2008. So I think we're probably likely to see it go there.
I don't disagree. I mean, they were saying, 4.5 by Christmas and 6.5 by March, and obviously that hasn't hit those heights. I mean, we don't know if there's a rate rise in December, but
it's about stability, right?
Yeah.
And I think we saw what the mini budget did. It caused the market to react immediately,
mm-hmm.
and I think with Rishi currently in place, the new chancellor, we're starting to see a little bit more stability come in and a little bit more confidence coming back in, but we just have to see how we go.
Agreed. Right, I won't keep you too long, so I'll rattle through these last few questions. This is a bit more doom-mongery. How far will house prices fall?
Well, so, I mean, you look across all the big banks and there's a very, very large range of doomsday projections.
Yeah, up to 20%, 25%, and some people are saying 10. You just don't know.
You don't know, but I think what we do know is that they are going to go down.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, yields are unsustainable with the current rates.
Correct.
So that would just automatically cause a correction.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think it's about how far will it go down and what's the impact of that. And again, how can we support or how can other people support those customers that are impacted?
Fine.
And I think that's really, really important. And that's also just important for the business as well. It's not just about how property prices will go down, residential prices will go down. Everyone's going to be impacted by this. And it's about supporting them through those
times. I suppose stress testing ultimately is offsetting LTVs to accommodate probably any reductions anyway, because you're not getting 75% on buy-to-lets anymore. You're getting sort of circa 60 for the same product.
Yeah, exactly,
so where if there is a 15% correction, you've almost offset it with the stress testing that's going on anyway.
Correct. We're in a different position to 2008.
Yeah.
Right? That
there's liquidity.
There's
market liquidity.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. So
which wasn't there last
time. We
should
be able to all survive this stuff, right? That's absolutely guaranteed. But the key is it's not about us, it's about the individuals being impacted by the businesses. So it's about, again, just providing that support for them.
Good stuff. Right. What do you like about the lending space at the moment?
Lots. Well, I'm a problems guy.
Yeah.
So the lending space is almost ideal for problems, right?
Especially you're never now. Not sure.
And because we only serve for SMEs,
yeah,
they're incredibly complex.
Agree. Yeah.
So by default, it's the challenge. The challenge for me is to provide my customers, both internally and externally, the tools and the products to be successful.
Yeah.
And you know what we always try and balance off is external product development as well as internal product development.
Yep.
Because the more efficient that we can be as a bank, the better we are for our customers. The quicker they can get to a decision, the quicker they can get their loan completed, the quicker we can provide more restructuring or refinancing options for them, the better it is for them during these times. The more that we can do, the more we can support. So there is an endless list of things that need to be done, and that's what's really, really great, because you know these types of times are, I would say unprecedented, but they were unforecasted in that sense. Like, we weren't planning to have this, so we weren't planning to do A, B, and C in our roadmaps, but now we're having to bring them forward rapidly, which means we're having to move things about and bring people in. So we're always constantly hiring because we're trying to bolster up teams that we didn't think we needed to actually put some dedicated resources against, but now we do, and so it's great, right? It's problems for in a positive way for me in the product.
I couldn't agree more. And I was actually saying to some of the younger members in my team, I said, you will learn more in the next 2 years of your career than you will have learned in the previous 5 years.
Yeah.
The last 5 years has been race to the bottom, very easy lending. Everyone's it's been a bull market. We've all tried to be successful. We've all tried to make money. What you will learn, if you act like a sponge and listen and then try and apply what you're learning, honestly, you will grow more as a lender in the next 2 years than you would have owned in the previous five.
Yeah, and I think it's important, right? I think it's a bit like you've got to look at what you didn't do well or do well, right, in times. And I went through the first 2008 crash, but I was a lot younger then.
Yeah.
And and I was on a completely different side, and I was kind of more of an originations place. And then switching over to kind of back office debt collection immediately, almost like within a week of each other.
Yeah.
Like, 1 minute I was underwriting, the next week I was trying to collect debt. It was a complete shift immediately in the retail space. But it does make you tougher, and you learn a lot of lessons from it. And we learned a lot of lessons from 2008 as an industry.
Mm.
And we'll learn a lot more from this, because when it's all plain sailing, no one's looking out for the problems.
We're all great.
Everything's
all great.
When it's getting a little bit bumpy, that's when you've got to stand up, you've got to show up, and you'll learn loads.
Agreed. Okay, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given over your career?
It will get easier one day, Nick. But that's actually the biggest lie I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So the best piece of
more responsibilities
advice,
you get older.
The best piece of advice I was given is just head down and be yourself.
Okay.
And you know, I think for me, what I take from that is kind of, we're all equal.
Yeah.
Hard work gets you quite far, actually. And you don't have to be the brightest or the cleverest person to be successful and to make a difference. And I work hard.
Be consistent.
All that, and be consistent. But also, it's okay to be to have a bit of a personality. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
It's okay.
It is okay. Yeah.
Just not an annoying one.
Yes. Not saying I've never been accused of that.
I get it all the time.
Right, last one. This is a bit more of a fun question.
Oh.
If you could have a dinner party and you had three guests, could be anyone in the world, who would they be?
Dead or alive?
Yeah, why not? Or you can do three dead, three alive if you want.
if you've got
the capacity at this time. Yeah.
yeah. On the spot.
All right, go on, we'll just do three. Could be a mix of anyone in history.
Okay, well, maybe a bit kind of, I'd love to have a sit down and chat with Michael Jackson.
Yep.
He's definitely on the list. I'm going to go Churchill.
I'd like to see Churchill and Jackson at a fucking dinner. Excuse my language.
Adversity. We're all going through it, right? And the third person, do you know what? It's going to be, this is going out on the, I'm going to go my wife.
I don't know whether to say R or vomit, but very nice answer.
Listen, I'm going to,
I respect your answer.
I spent a lot of years that woman. She's fantastic.
I respect your answer. Listen, we've all got to have a good person by our side.
Yeah.
That's it. Brilliant. Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. Hope you enjoyed
Thanks,
it.
Yeah, it was great.
And really good to meet you, mate.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you.